And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in Northwest Pennsylvania, folks. This has been one of the busiest news days, I believe, in the last, as best I can remember. It started out about 5 o'clock this morning, 4 o'clock this morning, in terms of the headlines, and it began with a series of leaks, WikiLeaks. And it continued on and on. The leaks became a steady drip. The drip became a faucet. If you don't know what we're talking about, if you haven't caught any of the news, you can also check go ahead and check on HagmanReport.com. There is some background information that I posted earlier this morning. I also did two videos. One of the videos is about Hillary Clinton, of course, the information about what the NYPD sources are, what the WikiLeaks, this is kind of a combination, what was found within the WikiLeaks that reflects what NYPD found, which goes to the witch-like nature, yes, witch, I suppose. We should, the nature of Hillary Clinton, we should probably change Hillary Diane Rodham. No, I guess we do have the witch in there, don't we? Yeah, but anyway, folks, the information if you woke up today and you looked at the front of Drudge or any of the main news outlets, InfoWars, for example, our site, you would understand. This is not a normal news day. Not even close. And everyone hopefully was paying attention, because this is some of the most important information ever. There is a pushback, an unbelievable pushback, a patriotic pushback, we'll call it that, by elements within the NYPD. Great people. And some elements within the federal agencies, within the task force, within the rank and file of the FBI, who want to keep their oaths, and who are saying, "Look, this must be published. You must, you've got to tell the American, not only tell the American people, but people must be punished." There's an internal struggle taking place right now, and if you don't understand that, you're not going to understand this program. I want to apologize for clearing the board of all of our guests tonight, revamping things. We're going to have a fast-paced show. We got multiple people coming on to talk about what's taking place, experts in their field. The long and short of it is there was a WikiLeak published an email. It was one of Podesta's email. There was a reference to, and this is a bizarre revelation. It was a reference to the Clinton campaign chairman, John Podesta, being invited to a spirit cooking dinner. Spirit cooking dinner. Now, if you don't know what that is, by performance artist Marina Abramovic. Now, if you don't know what that is or who that is, Marina Abramovic is, she's a witch. By definition, a witch, black arts. And if you don't know what a spirit cooking dinner is, just imagine bodily fluids being ingested. That's right. This is a pause, not because just because it's revolting to me. A spirit cooking in many circles, and in this circle as well, refers to a, quote, a sacrament in the religion of Thelema, which is founded, of course, by Aleister Crowley. It doesn't get any more satanic than this. Well, it does, but you gotta, believe me, it involves a cult performance during which menstrual blood, breast milk, urine, and the essence of man are used to create a painting. Well, not just a painting in this case. Dinner. Otherwise known as a normal Tuesday night at the White House. I joke, of course, in that respect, because if I didn't joke, I don't know. There's a 4-minute video on this, on YouTube. Of course, I've heard from people from all over the world telling me that I'm an idiot, which is fine. And then, there's another YouTube video that, I went into, and I, explained certain things about Hillary Clinton as well. So this is what this WikiLeaks had referenced, this email had referenced, but it gets worse than that. And we're going to get into this tonight because, you see, in addition to the occult practices, has been found, and we're going to get this as this show goes on, and as we develop this program, you're going to find out, ladies and gentlemen, that the lexicon for pedophilia. That's right. See, child molesters have their own lexicon. Kind of like people who engage in the whatever might be illegal have their own lexicon. But the child pedophilia and satanic people have their own lexicon that includes things like pizza party. Doesn't mean what you think it means. Don't bring don't bring the DVD that you want to watch. And certain other words are service code for things. If you look at the emails, now some of these emails are starting to make sense. The information that I got from my NYPD source, and I did say NYPD source, I do have an NYPD source, the information I got from this individual said that it's sickening. It's sickening. Absolutely beyond what many people can comprehend. Now, does that mean that Hillary Clinton was a part of this? Well, it appears that she was a passenger in no less than six, and we can document six. We can probably go 8 to 12 trips on the Lolita Express, and we could probably identify her as being part of this as well. And what the Lolita Express is Jeffrey Epstein's junket, the sex island, where not just sex slavery is being conducted, but pedophilia. And let me tell you something, satanic ritual abuse, Satanism, and pedophilia, sex slavery, they all intertwine and overlap. So what we did, because this is so large, so huge, and oh, by the way, I was on Alex Jones InfoWars today, and we were talking about it. I was on Wednesday. I had some of this information Wednesday. If you heard me there, heard that discussion, didn't really want to go there. Didn't understand exactly how big it was. I did show a photograph, an image that was given to me on InfoWars. I don't have it right here. Maybe next hour I'll get it. I don't know. It shows a young girl playing at the piano. I think it's in the rack there on my desk. Eric the tech is going to get this. I will show it now because, only to prove that this is something that, alright. Thank you, Eric. Eric the Tech. By the way, folks, follow him at Real Tech Eric on Twitter. This makes me sick. I don't know if you can see this or not. If you can't, it really doesn't matter that much. But I put tape, black tape over. I was going to put black tape over the whole thing. This was given to me. This was not, and there's a message to anyone wanting to come and take my devices. This is not a sexual picture. This is not child pornography, although it represents child pornography. But even so, this was hand delivered to me. So there. All right. One of the foremost experts, one of the people that has been an expert on this despicable topic, but one of the best people that we felt that we could reach out to explain what's going on. Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. He has a program that is run right before ours, and he is just like fresh off the radio. He probably maybe just got a glass of water, but he's back and he's ready to rock and roll. Russ, thank you so much for joining us on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey man, it's good to be with you tonight. Big night, and it's a ritual night, November the 4th, Satanic Revels tonight.
Jeez, okay. Let me ask you, Russ. I mean, why are we seeing this come out in the news like this? I mean, did you expect this when you woke up this morning? I mean, were you gobsmacked in the face with all this? Or
Not really this, expecting this. I mean, it's not surprising in the sense that Barack Obama, his mother-in-law, did a voodoo ritual in the White House. We have Hillary Clinton as a necromancer in the White House when she was there as the First Lady, you know, talking to the dead and having spiritist meetings talking to the dead. So whether in politics or in Hollywood or wherever else, or like this Morena in the performance arts, it depends on what you believe, what you're into, and that can come out. And there's no question about, and I've been screaming this for years, there's no question about the unparalleled developments of the spirits, the dark side. That's biblically prophesied, but it's going to be all over the place. And in Old Testament and around the world, and history shows that political powers, military powers, they're going to try to weaponize the powers, use the powers for political power and to draw, and people can be into some of the, and some of these individuals are simply just drawn into it by the occultists like Bohemian Grove. Look at the political powers there, the military leaders there, the media moguls there, and most still don't know the reality of the ritual is real, the human sacrifice is real, and the reason for it is to summon the powers to release on all of those who have been drawn out there, world leaders, to influence them for a larger agenda. So it sickens me like you, Doug, it really does. But we've seen, you know, hundreds and hundreds of police crime scene video and slides of ritual murders, killings. We've been talking about the Mexico Saint of Death, 12, 13, 14 million individuals now, the offering of food there. So it's just huge. But this, with a top political, you know, connection, it is huge, because whether he was doing it as being invited or whether he was really into it, the issue is this: the demons are real, and this was really, really dark, very dark oriented occultism that Morena was involved with.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if he actually went I do suspect, looking at the analysis of the emails, I do believe that there was a fulfillment of that invitation. Now, I can't prove that, but it really threw me off my game this morning. I mean, really, when I checked the headlines early this morning, and I saw this, and I knew that there was something up. I knew that there was something really horrible in the files that went beyond even espionage, and I automatically thought treason. Okay, but when I saw this, and then I saw the, and then I was given this image, and it's obviously was to me, I believe it was taken from the dark web. But having said that, I you know what? I'm at a loss for words, Russ. We know that the powers, we know that the powers are deeply involved in this. They're deeply involved in this activity. But to see it kind of play out is, it's equally sad and makes you, certainly, you know, there's anger there.
Sure.
And outrage. You know, so, yep. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, okay, so now, I guess, the rich, and I have your book, and folks, his book is Black Awakening. Russ Dizdar wrote a great book. It's called Black Awakening. Go to shatterthedarkness.net to grab a hold of that. This is kind of necessary reading, in my view, for people to understand what's going on, as well as all of his, all of the things on shatterthedarkness.net. And, of course, he has a radio show right before ours right here on the Global Star Radio Network. So it's so important for people to understand what's taking place. I can't let what you just said slide either, because author Maria Canis, Prepare for Persecution, did mention the fact that Obama's mother, his mother-in-law, yeah, Santeria, is that what you said?
Well, voodoo is what was said they didn't have anything for us to look at. I mean, they came out in the article, you know, sometime back, that it was a voodoo ritual and voodoo items. It could be, again, the very, you know, somebody looking at it, they wouldn't know the difference between Santeria, Palo, voodoo, voodan. I mean, there's a lot of similarities depending on what they saw. Okay. But any of that is literally the same thing. The only reason she would be having that stuff there is to summon powers for, there's two reasons a voodoo priestess would do this. One, to draw powers to guard, protect Brock and family and so forth. Two, to summon powers to release curse, spell, hex against what would be perceived enemies.
Okay. All right. And this wouldn't be their first time in doing it, obviously, right? I mean, so this has been going on in the White House. We would suspect, just based on our knowledge, that this has been going on since she has been a resident there. I would suspect, right? Like, because this would be a religion to her.
Oh, it'd be her life, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're not going to come out of, I mean, you're not going to leave being a voodoo priestess, a Palero or Santero or any of these individuals, a Boker, a Babalao out. You don't leave unless you're coming out of the darkness into the light. I mean, unless it's Jesus that brings you out of this, because it's a lifestyle and the spirits are real, the powers are real. The deeper you are in, the greater the grip they have on you also. So she's very, obviously very versed and been into it maybe all her life. I don't know.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's the way it sounds. And, you know, the other thing, too, is we get into the lives of Bill and Hillary Clinton, and, of course, this does involve Hillary, who potentially could be the next occupant of the White House. Bill and Hillary honeymooned in Haiti, which I found that awful strange. Even regardless of the context of that honeymoon, I found that awful strange. And their involvement, what do you know of their involvement or Hillary's involvement in, the dark arts, shall we say? That's even wrong. In Satanism. What do you know?
Well, I mean, they're just stories, but here's what I can say. We do know, and this is important to understand, a necromancer, anyone that wants to seek to talk to the dead, if she's getting before a picture of Eleanor Roosevelt, if she's actually having spiritist meetings in the White House with other individuals, which means there's more than just her, and they're gathering together to do, to engage the dead, that is one of the biggest things in the Old Testament besides human sacrifice that God led the Israelites to fight against to make sure they never got into. Conjuring the dead is as deadly as far as the demonic powers as very close to human sacrifice. So you have necromancy going on there, and there's no question she acknowledges you know, her meditation, her goal was to speak to the dead, and that's necromancy. That's a direct violation. That is a huge, huge. I mean, God warns heavily because it opens such a broad door. They will, if anybody, you know, yields to their drawing, they're going to come, And once they get a little bit of a right, they're going to want more and more. That's why it's called left-hand path. You notice the writings on that, you know, it's left-hand path. You know, inch by inch, step by step, you're going down. And you learn more, and you get more demons, and you learn more things, and you open up wider and broader, and you know, if there's been years of necromancy, that there, then there is a satanic synchronicity. Guide them to the people that are into the dark stuff. And we're not even discussed yet the, see, my belief is behind the scenes, those in the real shadows, those who are the really, you know, really what I would call the real Luciferian, they're recruiters. Law enforcement agent Tom Wedge put out a book years ago, Caliber Press, called The Satan Hunter. One of the, and it was back in that day. There's more, you know, written since then, but a very definitive back in the early 90s, law enforcement departments were bringing him in all over the place. But in that book, he talks about the varieties of Satanism, the varieties of witchcraft, the varieties of pagans, the rituals, the occult crime, you know, occult satanic crimes, you know, actual pictures and stuff. But he has a chapter on recruiting, and here's a big issue. Those who are in satanic covens, and the darker down you go, I mean, there's Anton LaVey, there's Aleister, you know, Crowley's versions, there's Michael Aquino's version, there's the Cathedral of the Black Goat, traditional Satanism there in Los Angeles, but there's the underground Luciferian, the satanic, that's the global, that's the generational, and that would be probably the strongest, but they recruit. They when it comes to kids, the kids might be invited to come to a black metal party, free drugs, free alcohol, maybe sex, whatever else, be shown some little ritual, something else, then they're brought to another one and another one and another one. Same thing occurs in high society. You're brought in to see something light level, then you're brought in, you know, depending on how you react, you might be invited to something deeper and darker until, and anybody in this field knows this, anybody who's in left-hand path, you know, if they're going to be honest at all, they're going to tell you that this is true. Little by little, you're drawn into it, and until you're finally opening up and practice, you become a practitioner. So in the White House issue, here's what I would expect when it comes to the biblical revelation of end-time stuff, that those already in the deepest of dark stuff, they're already summoning powers, releasing powers. Second, they're going to recruit. They're going to try to influence. They're going to that's Bohemian Grove. That's the summoning of the powers in that ritual. And the only reason for that ritual is to summon powers to release them. The culmination of that ritual is to release them on the crowd. It just like Revelation 16, when those demons are sent to the kings, the political powers of the world, to draw them to Armageddon. Listen, as a Christian, even Armageddon will not occur without demons being sent to engage the political leaders to draw them. So that's why, for me, it's not a surprise. It's an outrage. It's not a surprise. It's a glaring red flag to say how dangerous opening doors to the demons really, you know, really is, because once it starts and continues without any kind of interruption, any kind of breaking in, any kind of deliverance from that, it can go darker and darker and darker. So behind this, the blood that was been shown in the video, the blood being used, the ritual things being written on the walls, probably that is the instruction of the spirits themselves. That is extraordinarily dangerous. And they would be there to seek their place of power. That's going to get become more demonstrative as we get closer to the very end.
All right. Yeah. Now, just a few minutes here before the bottom of the hour break, but I've got to ask anyone who would say, well, you know, or who would typify this as just being, oh, come on, it's just a dinner party. And even if there was this artist there by the name of Marina Abramović, and even though that she might, you know, do her art and bodily fluids and write on the wall, it's performance. My goodness, don't read too much into it. You guys are, you know, crazy. What would you say to that?
We have a picture, Eric, of a. There was a story Politico did a year ago on John Podesta's and Hillary Clinton's offices, and there's a picture in there, and this deals with cannibalism. There are two men with plates and silverware standing over what looks like a dead person on a slab. And the from what I understand, too, what they talked about with the spirit cooking also can deal with cannibalism. But it just continues to show and add on to what you said about the art. The arts, and from ancient philosophy till now, it talks about how they are used to continue this dark agenda. And they are how people excused away things in the music industry, the entertainment industry, and even up till this political stuff that we see.
Sure, Joe. The well, look at Bohemian Grove again. All the individuals that are brought there, and I'm sure that there's people brought there as unwittings to be drawn into it, too. That's kind of a recruiting ground. So when they're watching it, they think they're watching a drama, The Cremation of Care. That's all the facade for what it really is. And I think that's true when any kind of... take a look at some of Lady Gaga stuff, some of the Super Bowl rituals that have come out, and more of that will come out in the performances of the musicians, but performance art, Jesus taught, was it whatever's inside a person, it comes out. And so it's one thing for it to be decadent sexuality and whatever else, which she's into. I mean, I've read part of her autobiography about she grew up among the spirits in her grandmother's house. She had a little back room that she would go to, and in the darkness she would engage spirits. So Morena, she's from childhood up, talks freely about her engagement with entities, spirits, and then goes to Australia to live among the shamans. And
hold that thought, Russ. We gotta cut loose just for a couple of seconds here, a couple of minutes, folks. Hagman and Hagman Report, our very special guest this hour, Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. We're gonna be right back. Stay right where you're at. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this special broadcast of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest this hour, Russ Dizdar, fresh off of his own program. You can catch it live every weeknight here right before ours on the Global Star Radio Network. Go to ShatterTheDarkness.net. That's where to connect with him, and he is the man. I mean, he is the resident expert about all of this. Any questions I have with respect to this topic, I defer to Russ Dizdar, and he's the author of The Black Awakening, a critical piece of work to get and understand. And I'll just say this, that I've had the opportunity, the pleasure to see him work in the field. And the service that he provides is so critical. So I ask that everyone support his efforts. I mean, he is delivering people out of this this demon lifestyle, and he's also looking, he's involved in various law enforcement cases. Law enforcement agencies bring him in as a consultant, as an operational asset for their various cases. So, having said that, he's a busy guy. In fact, he's all over the place in terms geographically. In addition to that, working at conferences and such. So, Russ Dizdar is the real deal. And right before the break, we were talking about, of course, folks that woke up to the news. It's kind of almost cycled off, but it's hard to believe that it's ever going to cycle off. It certainly won't trend on the social networking. It's not going to be trending on Facebook and Twitter, because they just don't do that if it's not about, if it's not good.
One thing I wondered about was it was the top story on Drudge earlier today. And usually what they do when you talk about trending down is they'll put those stories onto the lower columns on the left or right. But for some reason they completely unlinked to this. And I think it has something to do with sites like Fox News and a lot of the sites that follow the trends of Drudge, every single day with what they post, not crossing that line.
You don't talk about this in polite company, folks, except when you want to get to the truth, and then you have to. That's why. Drudge actually had a live link to InfoWars today. He passed, a billion of something or other. I don't know what it was, but it's this stuff that the alternative media getting this information out there and letting people know, as Russ is, letting people know the depth of the depravity that's taking place. Russ, Lolita Express, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, my goodness, sexual trafficking, Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein is the billionaire who owned, what was it called, known for Pedo Island. It was a pedophilia island. He's a billionaire, and I think it was, you said it earlier, Hillary Clinton, through the emails have been verified at least 6 times she visited the island, Bill Clinton at least 22 times.
Yeah.
And that was just the latest count, and that's just scratching the surface, apparently, on what these people are engaged in. And Russ, tell me if I'm wrong here, but these people need to engage in this kind of activity to continue to gain power and be protected from the people putting them in the light of day for them being arrested for their crimes. If this is what they do as a religion, are they not protected at some degree by the forces of darkness?
Well, yeah. I mean, that would be, again, you know, Satan will protect his own and his own agenda. So this lends to it, like Obama's agenda for the last 8 years, it lends to it. It led America to spit in the face of God on many different levels. That's like Satan rising up against David in the Old Testament to cause him to sin, to bring the wrath of God. So, there's no question that dark power. There's even a ritual in September that's done called the Hands of Glory to summon powers for the power of invisibility. So there's rituals they would do to cover themselves. There's rituals they would do, and even particular jewelry and or objects they would have that would have powers on them to guard them, protect them, to shield them. See, as a believer, 1 Peter chapter 1 tells me, I am shielded by God's power through faith in Christ. Psalm 91 talks about, you know, just the complete protection that God gives me. Now, that's protection from whom? Well, from the dark side and those whom, you know, the dark side is in living in and using. So, but that's how they work on that side. They want to be protected from God. They want to be protected from anybody like us. They want to be protected because the criminal acts that are done on that island and other places like Savile in England, like Sandusky in Pennsylvania, which is only the tiny tip of the iceberg of this stuff. You know, if we can go a little further, and if God gives us, you know, his good grace, there's going to be a ring that goes all the way from one side of Ohio deep into Pennsylvania that I think has connections everywhere, and it's the same thing. The reason for the sexual predator side is not just the hedonism, but there is a sense in which they're satanic rebels. That's why they're called satanic rebels or demon rebels. They love the decadent sex. Because here's what the ritual workers have told me over the years, people that have come out of the deepest, dark stuff. They've told me for years and years, and I understand this. The reason for the constant sexual rituals and sexual perversions, even prior before the biggest of rituals, here's what they say. To dirty the conscience, to give way to the spirits. Their explanation to me was, Russ, the reason we do these sexual rituals and these sexual acts and these perversions, it is not just for the hedonism and the pleasure, which that's clearly part of it. There's addiction there. But it's to dirty the conscience, the spirit, the soul of a person. It helps make a way for the demons to bring influence, to bring attachment, to bring control. So they go hand in hand. So when anybody looks at the ritual calendar, you're going to see sex rituals and then blood rituals, you know, back to back. And what you've seen on the Epstein island, why is it an island? Why is it hidden away? This is, again, like the old Rockefeller pictures of the masquerade parties that are just like Eyes Wide Shut, the movie. And this is what we've seen over the years. I mean, the pictures I've seen in law enforcement, hundreds and hundreds. Doug and Joe, sometime I'll have you come down. I'll show you the pictures. We've got law enforcement slides by the hundreds of ritual crimes. Nobody in the public is going to see them. By God's grace, let me just say it this way, somewhere, some way, they will be out for the sake of exposure. But the underground is dark. It is deep. It is broad. We deal mainly with the victims, but the crimes are horrific. They're outrageous. But the supernatural protection, as you're mentioning, is, and every Christian should understand this, it is absolutely real. And this is why it's hard for investigations, because, again, whether anybody believes me on this subject or not, I believe they do have powers to shield them. Just like in the Mexican drug lord summoning and offering blood sacrifice to the saint of death for one reason, to shield them from being caught. They do the powers and they summon the powers, and it's all so they won't get caught and so they can advance their cause. That's why they would do this, even in this spirit cooking ritual.
You know, I'm going to digress just a little bit. I've received emails all day today, actually. The one source that found what they found, or given me an overview, not in its entirety, but a little taste of what they found, he was shaken, surprised. And I think that there's a misnomer out there, or not quite a good understanding, that people think that the FBI, for example, or law enforcement agencies have special divisions dedicated to occult crimes or to satanic crimes, or to satanic ritual abuse. Is that a true statement in your experience?
For
example, does the FBI or do larger law enforcement agencies have special divisions specifically to investigate occult crimes or crimes that would involve satanic rituals?
Oh, sure. When we were doing our stuff back in the 80s up to the early 90s, we had a corporal from a local police department come to our meetings, and eventually he brought me into the chief and recruited me to be a police chaplain. But the reason was they wanted me to teach in the police academy on occult satanic crimes. This individual had created the Occult Crimes Law Enforcement Network in Ohio. So this is when we got involved with Tom Wedge, law enforcement agent out of Southern Ohio, who snuck us under the radar into the academy down in Worthington. And so he was teaching all across the United States from the mid-80s all the way through into the 90s, training officers everywhere, detectives on occult crimes, satanic crimes, and they were forming all across the United States occult crime units. Just like they would have gang units, they were developing, well, how do you know, if you go to a crime scene and there's this star carved into a man's chest, or his tongue's cut out, or his left hand's cut off, what does that mean? If there's green candles or red candles or black candles, what does that mean? What does this circle mean? What do these writings mean? So I would suggest anybody who wants to know, Tom Wedge has since passed away, but his book, I brought probably 60 copies of it. I'll bring you some copies next time I see you. It's called The Satan Hunter, but it's written to law enforcement. It's used as training, and actually it's pretty light level now compared to what we need to have now, but it gives, you know, law enforcement agents. So they were all across America. We engaged law enforcement, you know, individuals as well. I'm the cult crime detective of this such a Barberton or wherever they may be. And they were giving all cadets at the University of Akron's Police Academy training in occult crimes and how to, you know, spot them, what to do. The problem was, here's what they said, in every academy, all the places I went, Doug, this is what they say. They would say to all the police and cadets and so forth, well, you know, deal with all of this, but don't tell the public about the crimes, the satanic side, that'll create panic, just deal with the crime. So there was an automatic goal to suppress. Now, in the feds, among the feds, when the so-called satanic panic, the rise of satanic ritual abuse in the 80s and 90s, there were literally hundreds of thousands of cases. Four individuals went out there, including Captain Dale Griffiths and three other law enforcement agents, for 3.5 decades, all over America, all the cases you've heard about. They have since all retired. They are the ones that specialized, and they did the West Memphis 3. They went Richard Ramirez out in California, the Night Stalker, Jeffrey Dahmer. Most people don't even know about Jeffrey Dahmer. He had an altar in his apartment built out of human thigh bones. He was deeply SRA, MPD. Yes. Now, here's the thing about the feds, and we've interacted with the feds, and they love for us to engage and tell them about human trafficking. They're ready to work on that. They're ready, you know, like the local field office guy here would say to me, Russ, you know, we'll give you the victims to deal with for healing and help. You tell us, we'll nail the, you know, they want, there's some guys that want to just nail these people. But when it comes to the satanic side, I'm going to say this very clearly. Among the feds, there's very few that have a grid of, you know, like in forensics and trace, you know, evidence. The forensics for occult satanic crimes, it's just not there. And even among law enforcement agents, it's like trying to find out what gang symbols mean, you know, in Compton, California, you know, to know who's who and who's where the meeting and what color, you know, handkerchief you're going to wear in your head. If they don't know these things, that goes to motivation. Like on our site that we have, the SIIU site, crimes.com, we have a picture of a feds billboard. There's two girls, Sarah and Kathy. We've been involved with that case since 1994. We've turned state's evidence. We've gone to both the feds and spoke, law enforcement, three agencies and spoke. We told them why we know it's satanic crime, why we turned over who did the crime, and on and on and on. But the current federal officer in charge to solve this case since 1994, the two girls were, you know, each stabbed probably 60, 70 times or more, sexually brutalized, killed, left in a field known for satanic rituals. One was left in July in demon revels on that night, and in August, one was left for and on satanic revels. When I shared that with the federal officer, it was like, that's too bizarre. That's too weird. We just can't put that in the actual, we can't put that in the actual, investigation. And I'm like, why not? This, it goes to motivation. This is why they killed. They killed based on a ritual, based on their belief, based on the powers they wanted to receive. And this is what they've done. And then I, you know, we pointed to who, this is who did this. So the individual is still out there. The crime is unsolved, like many of the others. The Jeffrey Dahmer crime was never told for what it really was. Nobody ever seen pictures of the inside of his apartment with the, I have at Death Tech, SWAT teaming training place with Tom Wedge. I did get to see the altar built out of, human thigh bones. Look at your book. Look at your stuff that you've seen. It's not in the grid of law enforcement, the feds, and part of that, I'm going to say, is a sense of Western, you know, rationalism. You know, we don't want, or even the idea of we don't want to step on religious toes. But I will say this, and I'll say this. This is a part of it because we've been engaged with law enforcement back and forth for years and years and years and years. Most of it is just simply ignorance and not being taught on it, not understanding it, saying, how could this be? This is just too bizarre. It really, you know, this really can't be. The other side is there are those who want it suppressed. I was recruited by a corporal who ended up being a satanic, richly abused, high complex multiple who was the head of the Northeast Ohio Occult Satanic Crimes Law Enforcement Group, who had the abilities to take any crime that involved occult symbols, signs, that had anything to do with any of that, and push it away.
Now, Russ, I know that you've come across this a lot with the SRA in law enforcement and all kinds of people from all parts of you know, the country and you know, different jobs, and we see that this is happening in the highest levels of the Clinton campaign with what has come out today. And you just referenced law enforcement. How prevalent do you think this is? And I'll just put my opinion out. It's much more prevalent than any of us believe in Washington, D.C., and even taken down, you know, from these different agencies, intelligence agencies, the law enforcement agencies. Even to the people who just work there. Now, Washington, D.C. has a special and different culture, and I think it's more dark than any other city due to the nature of the business. But how involved do you think everyday people who work in Washington, from aides to agents to, you know, attorneys, are involved in this kind of thing?
Well, more than we think, because again, in the applications, in the training and all, they don't come down. I mean, they might say, what is your religious belief? Something like that. For example, Akron, here, the larger, department, you have individuals in uniform who in their personal life were full-blown Satanists or Wiccan. These are the ones I've met, pagans. One pagan officer, after I did a training at a police academy, came up to me afterwards to thank me that I taught correctly on the difference between pagans and Satanists. So, no, here's what I've screamed for years since I've been out on the radio is that, again, biblical prophecy, but let alone what we've seen on the ground for 35 years in tracking satanic ritual abuse. There is no end of the age, there is no new world order, there is no Antichrist without the demonic presence, the demons, the powers. They are the instruments and the cause behind all of it. This is why it's coming down to this. So their targets, though, in a biblical picture, just like in Babylon in Daniel's day 2,700 years ago, the targets are political, military, and the wealthy. Those are the three primary need to recruit, need to infiltrate, need to embed themselves in it. Biblical prophecy, again, Revelation 13 would teach us there's going to be the Greek word is anabano, a kind of springing out, a rise of a global new world order with the Antichrist, the beast, as the head of it. And the dragon gives the power, the real powers will be there. How does it just spring out? It demands the fact that it has to be pre-existent and hidden, thus shadow system. Everybody can talk about this, but there's two reasons for the, you know, and here's what I believe that, in the political, economic, and militaristic, and more so now than ever, the technological side, that this system of individuals interfacing with the dark side are there already. They can't come out collectively until the restrainer's removed, but they're there and they have to be multi-continental, multinational. They have to be embedded and they have to be, you know, organized and connected so that once the collapse and the chaos and what they call the Black Awakening, you know, they're tearing everything down, out of the chaos then comes a new order springing out. So it's by design. And so I'm going to say very clearly that just as there has been, and it's been kind of acknowledged, Masons in government and things like that, going back to George Washington and all the rest, there has been a secret society infiltration. Go to Yale, it's not just Skull and Bones, there's six other deeply dark secret societies that operate on Yale's campus. They are always recruiting in secrecy and drawing more and drawing more. The problem is it's gotten larger and larger and broader and more connected. And just like the Bible spells out and warns, that system will be deeply intertwined politically, militarily, economically. And I now will say on a technological basis all the way to CERN. Where I have been in the context of law enforcement and the crimes that we've seen, there are people that are there that cover. There are people there that summon the powers. There are sleepers. And here's a little bit off subject, but according to, you know, what stuff I've written about, the sleeper, shooter sleepers, I'm going to tell you right now, with every ounce of my belief, there are hundreds of thousands of intact programmed, again, from the satanic side, which includes demons, shooters, just like Jared, just like, you know, Holmes, and just like VTech, that are placed, and they're sleepers. All it takes is a collective triggering. They're there. Where are they planted? This is what we've learned for years and years, directly face-to-face with the underground. They're planted in law enforcement. They're planted in military. They're planted in government, so that when the call for the chaos comes, sabotage, subdiffuge, and sabotage from within to help collapse it all is going to be there. I'm not a person that's going to bet anything, but I'm telling you with every ounce of my being, they are there, both in the witting in the sense of those who know who they are and what they're into and what they're trying to influence with, and the rituals are behind them, the powers are behind them, because that's the biblical picture. Even in Revelation 13, there is no new order, political order, without the powers, the dragon, you look at the picture there, that he gives. There's real stuff to this, real supernaturalism to this. And then I believe there's also the placement of sleepers. And this is a huge concern, because there will be a day in which the triggering does occur. There will be a day in which in U.S. military, in U.S. law enforcement, U.S. politics, what happened in that theater in Colorado will occur in every city in the United States collectively.
What a frightening thought.
And that's what Black Awakening addresses.
Yeah, folks, go to shatterthedarkness.net, and Russ's book, The Black Awakening, is a fantastic write-up. And I just want to get your take on this election. We know you mentioned Skull and Bones in 2004, John Kerry versus George Bush. Both were members of Skull and Bones. And these secret societies are breeding grounds for these type of activities that we have seen. And it's on both sides of the aisle, not just Democrat, but Republican. And I think that's why it's so interesting. This election cycle, we have an outsider like Donald Trump, who's not a politician. Yes, he's a billionaire, but I have not seen him been tied to, you know, a lot of these groups that we see, the Freemasons and Council on Foreign Relations. He doesn't seem to be wound up in any of that. And, Russ, if we can, in the closing minutes before the break, what do you think, if you had to say your best guess about this presidential election, what do you think we're going to see? What are the possibilities in your mind?
Sure, I've come to believe this. In all, you know, what I've seen, I do believe a supernatural hand brought Barack in, but not the hand of God. I believe there were powers behind what occurred there. There was a real behind-the-scenes spiritual movement that helped bring him because of what he's done. Now, the damage is so deep that unless something big and humongous is done to turn things around, so I do believe the concept of the Cyrus and even Josiah in the Old Testament, in which God puts somebody in kind of in a very aggressive political ruler, you know, coming in to give a bubble of time. In Josiah's case, God was going to judge the horrible decadence and the crimes and so forth. But when Josiah stepped up, hold of the prophet gave it a word, when he got the Israelites to turn, there was a bubble of time in which all of that judgment was set aside. So I would say that if Hillary was to be elected, that darkness falls in extreme ways here. Darkness falls. I believe that's the end, you know, maybe the end for any kind of recovery, barring some massive revolutionary revival from God, which I would pray for and want. But I think that this involves a real battle for giving us a little more time or having everything collapse now. So it's a huge, huge and massive difference. And you're right, Joe. Listen, you got people on both sides, and you can't, you know, Skull and Bones and all the secret societies, they're the ones that are watching the young guys coming up. They recruited Bushes. They recruited these individuals. They got recruited into that dark stream. And it seems as though Trump is out of all of that and not a part of that. And as a matter of fact, they seem to be against him. Where are the Bushes? Where are some of these, you know, where are the, you know, I would say this. It is a major blow. I was asked some the other day about if the Antichrist is alive and waiting to come to power, if Donald Trump got elected, does this throw him off? And my answer is, this is going to make him as mad as hell, because it will throw him off, because I think it will give. And here's the other side, though. We as believers, if this occurs and a great door is given to us and greater freedom, we must take advantage in the areas of abortion and everything else. And we got to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Russ, we're up against the end of the hour. I want to thank you so much for spending your time with us, folks. ShatterTheDarkness.net, The Black Awakening is Russ's website. Thanks again for spending your Friday hour after the show with us, Russ.
Thank you. God so bless much, you. Friend. See you later.
Have a great night.
Support Russ Dizner, folks.
Yeah, right here on Global Star Radio, right before our program, 6 to 7 p.m. each and every weekday. We'll be right back with Dr. Ted Brewer after this.